Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I believe I have a message. I believe that God has given me a message today. And so I want you to know that I don't step into this moment lightly. And I just want us all to be on the same page. We're going to give God this hour. We're going to be attentive. I know the weather's outside is beautiful. I know we've done a lot of things this weekend. But I want you guys to grab hold of something from this message today. And my hope is that when you leave here, you will sense the peace that comes from the precepts and the promises that are found in God's Word. Some of you are so weary, some of you are so tired, some of you are so frustrated, some of you are so angry, and what you need is the peace that comes from God's Word. And I believe that there's something here for you today. Amen? All right. Now listen, I've had the opportunity the last couple Wednesdays, and I've been speaking on this thing called the refuge. And the refuge of the Lord. The refuge of the Lord is this place in our relationship with God where we have this intimate, this honest, this connected conversation with God. It is a place where we have shelter and retreat from all of the problems that we face in our life. Amen? And I've been talking about the refuge of the Lord. Oh, it's a safe place. It's a place that God desires to see us at daily, to have conversation with you. And I've been talking about this the last couple Wednesdays, and I'm going to recap some of those highlights from those messages. And I encourage you to go to the podcast and download these messages so that you can get the full scope and the landscape of this teaching. All right? But the refuge of the Lord is vital in your relationship with God. It's vital for you in your life, amen? Now, I believe that every single one of us shares one thing. That we all have this one thing in common, and that is we all want the blessings from God, amen? All of us want to be blessed by God. If you want to be blessed by God, say amen. Amen. We all want the blessings from God. That is the desires of our heart. In fact, there's a prayer that was prayed in the Old Testament. It is the prayer of Jabez. And I want to read it real quick because I believe that it is a great snapshot of our desires in each one of our hearts. And it reads this, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel saying, "Oh, that you would indeed bless me and enlarge my border, my property, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, so it does not hurt me." And God granted his request. Oh, that you would indeed bless me. Is that not all of our prayer? We want the blessings of God. We want God to give us more market share. We want God to give us a bigger house. We want God to give us more money. We want God to give us more hair. Indeed, that you would bless me, O Lord. And so what we have to understand is what we're asking for is growth. 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 Okay? And to understand growth, you have to understand that growth follows the creation narrative. Now, I'm recapping and I'm going quick, so I want you to go back and get these podcasts. Growth follows the creation narrative. What is the creation narrative? God created out of chaos. That is the creation narrative. The earth was formless and void, and God said, "Let there be light," and the light separated night from day. He said, "Let there be land, and let there be sea." He said, "Let there be birds of the air and birds that walk the earth." He spoke order out of chaos. The creation narrative is that God shaped order out of chaos. Growth is chaos being shaped into order. Growth is chaos being shaped into order. Amen? So you have to understand that when you're saying, God, indeed that you would bless me, what you're asking God for is more chaos. Oh, if you want a bigger house, you got more rooms to clean. Oh, God, give me some more kids. Well, you asking for more chaos. God, give me more property. You got more property to take care of. You have more chaos. Amen? So growth is chaos being shaped into order. All right? So now what you have to understand is this, is that every challenge, every problem you face, every situation, every dilemma, every problem that you face is chaos pressing against the order that you've established. The problems in your life are chaos's attempt to take back the order that was established. Oh, you train your kids and you try to teach them right, and then all of a sudden they become teenagers. And those problems that you face as a parent, it's chaos's attempt to erode the order that was deposited into your kids. Now, we have this in a lot of areas of our lives. Amen? So you have to understand that anytime that you have a problem, anytime you have a situation, what you are facing is chaos. That's why problems are always chaotic in nature. You ever get, you know, when you're facing problems and situations, you're like, what in the world is going on? You know what that is? That is the chaotic nature that is associated with the problem, because that problem is an attempt to erode the order that was established in your life. Are y'all with me? Now, moving fast. So in life, you are trying to establish order. You are raising your kids, and you're trying to establish order. And as you establish order, you are pressing against chaos. So you do devotional with your kids, and you do Bible studies with your kids, and you train your kids, and you try to teach them to brush their teeth at night, and you try to teach them all these things. Then all of a sudden, you're working on your marriage at the same time. How many of you want to have a healthy, happy marriage? Man, it takes work. I mean, hard work. So you're working on your marriage, and you're trying to do the right things, and you're vacuuming the house with a smile on your face just to show your wife how much you care. You're emptying out the dishwasher. You're doing all those things. Amen. But then all of a sudden you're working on your finances at the same time. And you're giving God back the portion that he asked for. And you're doing benevolence work. And then all of a sudden you're working with your 401k. And you got your 529 for your college kids fund. And you're working on your Roth IRA. And you got to make sure it's balanced portfolio, because, you know, stock market can get messy at times. And you're working on all these things, and you're pressing against chaos, trying to establish order. Then you're working on your career, and you're putting in extra hours, and you're trying to be the company man. You're trying to make sure that they see all the good work that you're doing, and you're pressing against chaos, trying to establish order. And what we find is that we have this posture in life that we're pressing continuously against all these things, trying to establish order. Now, there's a misconception that we have in the Christian faith, and that is when people try to get to this place where we have no more problems. People always say, man, you just want to be problem free. You have to understand, to be problem free is to be growth free. You can't say, Lord, indeed bless me, but I don't really want to have to work that hard at it. Give me more land, but if you could somehow plow it yourself, that would be great. No, to be problem-free is to be growth-free, and you don't want that. So the goal in our life is not to solve. Sometimes we even say this. We say, you know what? If I can just get this one thing solved, everything else will be in order. You know? And what we have to understand is that today's problem will be solved no matter what it is. But it's going to usher in tomorrow's problem. And as you grow, your problems become more sophisticated and more complex. My problems with my kids were easy. Now they're getting older, a little bit more complex. Dad, I want a phone. Never.
It is a war on the phone. So all of a sudden, you have to understand that as you grow and as you develop, you're going to move from one problem to another. Amen? And so the goal isn't to be problem-free. The goal is to become more proficient in problem-solving. See, God wants you to be balanced. He wants you to be so good at problem solving. He wants you to be in this position where you are fighting against the chaos that tries to steal the order that he has given and blessed you with. And he wants you to be so proficient in problem solving. He doesn't want to take away all your problems. He wants you to be proficient in problem solving. The problem with a lot of Christians is that they're very manic. Jesus loves me. Everything is great. Hallelujah. And then they drive to Henderson. My God, gas is cheaper here than it is in Madisonville. Why, God? Right? Listen, we're all going to have problems, and you cannot freak out. You have to understand that this problem-solving posture in your life is the reality of your life. This can't be foreign to you. Why is this happening? Because you have teenage kids. Why is this happening? Because life is complex. Life is always going to press against you. Chaos is always going to press against you. Amen? So God wants you to be balanced. Say balanced.
Balanced.
God wants you to be balanced. To be balanced, I want to highlight three things that you have to have. Three things that you have to have in being a balanced Christian. To be balanced in problem solving. To be proficient in creating order out of chaos. Three things. Number one, you have to be honest with yourself.
What?
You have to be honest with yourself. That honesty must lead you to an awareness. All of a sudden you're aware. Honest conversation all of a sudden leads you to this awareness. And that awareness must inspire you to have correct response. Okay? Honesty, awareness, correct response. You must have those three things to be a balanced Christian. Now, you have to understand this posture that we have as we're fighting against the chaos in our lives, as you're establishing order in your lives, this posture, this effort, this striving was never made for you to do it alone. God never expected you to do it alone. In fact, I don't think it's God's will to indeed bless me, O Lord, and for me to only give him a 20-minute briefing once a week about how everything's going and thank you, God, for everything. And you just keep the blessings coming, God. It's good. No, God said, I am your daily bread. And God says, I have this place that you need to get to. It's called the refuge. And I'm finishing up my recap. The refuge of the Lord, where you and I have intimate connected conversation. And in that conversation, you are going to gain awareness about your situation and where you are at in life. And I hope that as you have this awareness, that all of a sudden you will sense the goodness of my nature. And as you do, you will have faith and you will have trust in God to do the right thing. That is the place of the refuge. Amen? How many of y'all are with me so far? All right. So what I want to do is I want to talk and I want to show you an account in the Bible where it will highlight the necessity and the value of the refuge. It will highlight the necessity and the value of the refuge. If you will, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. This is the account of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Now, in life, there's a pantry of problems and situations and dilemmas that we face, right? It's never just one thing. We always think, oh, it's just this one thing. No, it's never just one thing. You're crazy at multiple levels. It's never just one thing. All right? So in the pantry of life, we're going to pull out this one problem. This problem is very personal to Cain. This is a real problem for Cain. And I want to highlight the necessity of the refuge. And this might not encompass everything that you're facing today. This might not be the exact problem that you're facing today. But I believe that as I highlight this account with Cain and Abel, that you'll be able to see a few things that you can connect with through this account. Amen? So Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 3. Now, Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, the fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out in the field." While they're out in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother?" "I don't know. I have no idea," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And then the Lord said, "What have you done?" Oh, Cain and Abel. Now, if I was to pull out this situation, this problem, this dilemma out of the pantry of life, I would label this, "It's simply not enough." Simply not enough. Now, this might not represent you today, but maybe you can connect with some of the highlights of this account. It's simply not enough. See, I know a lot of people that have a lot of desires and a lot of dreams. They have a lot of aspirations, but they simply don't give enough to get what they want. And so let's talk about this account. You have Cain, who is the oldest brother who oversees the soil. He oversees the soil. His youngest brother takes care of the flock. And what we are first introduced to is they each present before them an offering to the Lord. Cain puts some of the fruit from the land that he's worked hard on before the Lord. And Abel brought the fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. God walks by and examines both of these offerings. And he looks over Cain's offering and passes it by, while he looks at Abel's offering and blesses him with favor. It says he looked upon Abel's offering with favor. Isn't that what we all want? God's blessing and favor on our life. If you were to ask me, "Hey, you can have one thing, what would it be?" More hair. Two things, I'd say, more hair, and I want to have the blessings of God in my life. The unrestricted blessings of God, to be accepted by God and have the affirmation that God loves me and he's proud of me, to have the cooperation of God and to have the blessings of God where he touches the labor and work and toil of your hands. That's what I want. Amen? Is that what you want? Amen. So Cain looked and God gave this favorable, this blessing, this affirmation to Abel's offering, but he overlooked Cain's. And Cain was angry. You have to understand that anger is rooted in not having what you want. I'm mad. Why are you angry? Because I want this and I can't have it. You know, I know so many people that are like this. They're angry because they have these dreams and these desires and these aspirations. They want these things. and they don't have it. And they're mad. Typically, they're angry at three things. First of all, they're angry at life. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. You ever hear people say that? It's not fair. Okay. I'm listening. The other thing that they're mad at is they're mad at somebody else. See, any time that you say it's not fair, you turn yourself into a victim. Right? But if you're a victim, that means someone else has to be the villain. Oh, someone else did this. I don't have what I want because they have it. They did this to me. Russell Durant took it from me. It's not fair. Anytime you say it's not fair, you're turning yourself into a victim. And every victim has to have a villain. In fact, many times we make God out to be the villain, right? God, if you love me, God doesn't care. He's mad at me. The reason I don't have this is because God's mad at me. Now, I've said that. I've repented. And I'm sure that we've all said that at one point in our life, right? So what we have to understand is that Cain is angry. And he's looking at Abel, and he's angry. And Abel has what he wants, and that is the blessings of God. And God, man, God is so good. God reaches out to Cain, and what God does is he's so good, and he loves us so much, he'll bring the refuge to us, even if we don't go to the refuge. Right? He says, hey, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? In fact, you got to understand that one thing about anger is anger consumes. Anger consumes. Oh, God, there's a holy anger, and anger will consume. But you got to understand that if you are hosting and fostering anger in your body, it will destroy your body. It will consume your body. And Cain was so angry that his face told the story. Why are you so angry? Your face is downcast. You're so angry and ate up with it, your face is telling the story. You ever met someone like that? You walk by in the lobby like, hey, how's it going? Fine. And you walk away, you're like, man, what's wrong with her? How are you today? I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. All right. Your face is telling the story. You're ate up with anger. You're ate up with anger. You're ate up with anger. It's consuming you. And God's saying, listen, I'm the refuge. And what God's trying to do is he's trying to have an intimate, connected conversation with Cain. He's trying to have an honest conversation with Cain in the hopes that Cain will gain some awareness. And in that instruction, he says, you know what? If you do the right thing, will you not get the right result, Cain? Will you not be accepted if you do the right thing? Now, this is what Cain did. He did something that was extremely dangerous. He ignored the voice of God. When God is attempting to reach out to you, invoke in some honest conversation, and you are so ate up with negative emotion, listen, let me tell you the problem with negative emotion is that it never gives you the correct response. Negative emotion always leads you to negative responding. No one's ever so angry and do the right thing. I'm so mad, but I'm going to do the right thing. It never happens. Negative emotion always leads you to doing the wrong thing and many times speaking the wrong thing. Amen? So God is trying to have this connected conversation where he gains some awareness. He says, if you do the right thing, I will accept you and you'll get the right result. And Cain ignored it. He ignored it. And this is what happened. He went from anger to hostility. He went from anger to hostility. It came to the point, now it's violent. He says, hey, Abel. Hey, man, what's up? You want to go for a walk in the woods, just you and me? How about you and I go for a walk? I got to show you something out in the woods. It's really cool. I'm not doing it. You asked me to go out in the woods with you by myself. No way. I'm not doing it. Nope. I'm not going. Let's go for a walk in the woods. Nope. Abel did, and he died. Cain killed him. So he's now so angry, so ate up with hostility, now it's violent. And God goes, Cain, where's your brother?
I don't know.
See, that right there shows you that Cain has an honesty issue. I don't know. You want to know one of the most damaging things that I see in people's lives is that they cannot, will not, and never will become honest or honest with themselves. They can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth. Right? Cain has an honesty issue. He can't handle the truth. And God says, where's your brother? I don't know. So God says, the ground where his blood was spilt is crying out against you. He says, you know what? I tried to come to you and you ignored the voice of God. You wanted to do it your way and now you turned your anger and your bitterness into a hostile violence. You go do that on your own over here. And he sent him off. You got to understand the only thing that Cain wanted in the beginning of this thing was the acceptance of God. And because he ignored the voice of God, he lost the very thing that he wanted. Amen? The value and the necessity of the refuge is so needed. It's such a necessity. It's so required in your life. And if you miss it, and if you ignore the voice of God, you can actually miss the very thing that he is trying to bless you with. You have this desire. He wants you to have this desire. He wants you to attain this thing. And you can actually lose the very thing that he has for you by ignoring the voice of God. Listen, we are in this posture of life where we are pressing against chaos and you're fighting against the disorder and you're fighting against all these things that are trying to steal the order in your life. And you were never made to do this alone. And God is trying to bring you to this place where you have this intimate, honest conversation with him. Because some of you are angry. And some of you feel crummy inside. And some of you are victimizing yourself. And I am a victim and it's not fair. And the reason being is because you're fighting all these things and you haven't gotten to the refuge in the Lord. And you were never made to do this on your own. Oh, in the refuge of the Lord, what God wants you to do is he wants to take the problems that you're fighting with today and he wants you to connect them to the precepts of his word and the promises of his word. And when you take your problems and connect them with the promises of God's word, all of a sudden you will find the peace of God. Oh, the peace transcends all understanding, amen? And some of you are so weary, you're so tired, you're so fatigued, you can't figure it out, you're flabbergasted. Why is all of this happening to me? And God is trying to have this intimate, honest conversation with you so you can have some awareness. And he wants you to take the problems of your life and connect them with the precepts of his word so you can have peace. Because if you feel negative, you're going to respond negative. And peace is such a necessity for you. But you can't come to this place once a week, once a month. It's a daily bread that you must consume. And let me tell you something that's so awesome. When you can get the peace of God in the midst of problems. Problem solving. When you can have the peace of God in the midst of problem solving. Then, out of nowhere, unexpected, it's even surprising to yourself, you'll be able to find yourself praising God in the midst of it all. Oh, how do you praise God in the midst of it all? It's only when you connect the problems to the precepts of His Word and you find peace. Oh, when you're so troubled and you find peace, then all of a sudden your heart is free in the midst of it all and you're like, God is good. Amen? This can only be found in the refuge of the Lord. This can only be found in the refuge of the Lord. Jeremy, come on up. My question to you is, how long has it been? I mean, you're fighting, you're pushing, you're doing everything that you can. But how long has it been since you've had an honest, one-on-one conversation with God? Because think about this. What would it have been like for Cain if he had an honest connection, this honest conversation with God? Where Cain says, God, it hurt me when you walked by me. It hurt me when I saw my brother get your favor. God would say, I'm listening. What you need to do, Cain, is you just need to give a little bit more. And I want you to trust me. See, when you get to the place of the refuge in the Lord, it's where faith is built. When you bask in His goodness, you're saturated in His love, and you have the peace of God all over you, even in the midst of the storm, all of a sudden faith is sparked. And God's saying, Cain, if you just give a little more, I'm going to show you how good I am. I want to show you the grandness that I have for you in your life. There's an awareness that is given in that beautiful moment. It's an honest moment. All of us need to be nudged in the right direction. All of us need to be corrected. The voice of God does that for us. It sharpens us. Cain would have left that moment with this awareness and this awe of God's beauty and grace. And maybe he would have gone out and responded correctly and given God a little more. And the very thing that he wanted, the acceptance of God, would be shown upon his life. Amen? There's a refuge. There's a place that God's desperate for you to get to. You need it so bad. You're so weary and tired. You got to ask yourself if you're angry this morning. I'm not saying this is everyone's problem. There's lots of problems in life, but maybe you can connect with a little bit of this. Maybe you feel let down. Maybe it's not fair. My question is, when's the last time you had an intimate conversation with God? You know, you got to connect the promises to the problems, right? Well, the promises are found in the Word of God. You want some practical teaching on this? What you need to do is go to Kroger, buy some index cards. And I have 50 index cards in my office that I have written with my favorite scripture. Different scriptures. And I connect them to the problems in my life. And every time I pray, I just sort through them. God, you know she's crazy. She's a crazy woman. So I fixed my eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, Lord. For what is seen is temporary. But my question is this. How can you connect your problems to the precepts of God's Word if you don't know it? If it's so foreign to you, how do you connect it? You got to get to that place daily. I tell people this all the time. Every time I speak, I said you got to spend 30 minutes a day with God, 15 minutes in His Word and 15 minutes in prayer. That should be the minimal standard in your life. Connect your problems to the precepts of God's Word. And you find a peace. Oh, man. You know, they want to find all these ways to prove that God is real. When you stand in the midst of the storm and you feel the peace of God, it's all you need. Amen. God is good. So this morning, I want to do this. Jeremy's going to end with a song. I asked him to sing it because I recently listened to it just on repeat because I was at a place where I was facing a ton of negative emotion. Listen, negative emotion, it can overwhelm us all. And I was at this place where I faced this negative emotion. And I just listened to this song on repeat. I must have listened to it 20 times. The song's called "It Is Well." And he's going to sing this song, and then I'm going to let you go. But I want you to do me a favor. I want you to make a declaration today to God that you're going to get to the refuge. I believe that there's a conversation that's needing to be had. I know that he wants to show you how good he is. Some of us have been so frustrated. You know, you actually can fall in love with being mad. I counseled with someone not so long ago, and I said, let me ask you a question. If you actually got what you wanted and you weren't mad anymore, could you handle that? People have been mad for so long, it's part of who they are. They've been a victim for so long, it's part of their identity. Life isn't fair. That's who I am. Right? God wants to show you that there's so much more. So as Jeremy sings a song, the altar call is right where you're at. Just do me a favor and close your eyes. Just have a quick little conversation with God. But say, hey, listen, I'm going to get back with you. We're going to conversate some more this week. Amen? Go ahead, Jeremy.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.